Brightwood, is an honor and privilege to get to continue our Easter series here at the Vine. Can you believe Easter is just a few weeks away? It's crazy. Can you believe it? We got longer days. You lost an hour of sleep. It's supposed to pay off in the long run, so we'll get excited to that. But here's what I love about that each and every year is we lose an hour of sleep. It looks forward to spring coming. New life. We step out of the darkness, right? We get to step into the light. So that being said, we're going to celebrate what we just said, but you got to let three people know right now, Christ is risen. Come on, let them know Christ is risen. Come on, all the way through. That's what we celebrate at Easter. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. And we're going to go a little old school here in the beginning, kind of how we did last week. And we're going to say Matthew 28:6 together out loud. So if you will stand together, don't worry if you don't have it in your Bible yet. It's okay. We're going to say this. This is kind of, if you grew up old school church, this is kind of how you used to do it when the Word of God was read. But we're going to say this each and every week because this is what Easter is all about. So let's say Matthew 28:6 together. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. You can go ahead and have a seat. I love that we get to celebrate this. This is what Easter is about, knowing that, the death could not hold him, right? That there's an empty tomb. The cross couldn't hold him. Satan couldn't defeat him. Sin lost its final, really, let's say sin lost its breath. It lost the final grip it had on us through Christ Jesus. And that is what Easter is about. We laid the groundwork last week to say that Christmas is when hope arrives, but Easter is when hope is fulfilled fully for all of us through Christ Jesus, because Christ is our ultimate gift. So I want you to think about something. What's the craziest or weirdest gift that you have ever given, or more importantly, have ever received? Come on, you got it in your head right now, don't you? Think about it, the craziest or weirdest thing. Now, some of us right now may still have that gift, right? All of us have that gift, right? Like, we got it on our refrigerator. We help take hold of it, right? We all have that gift, right? We all keep it. Now, I want you to think about that gift. Is that gift perfect? No, it isn't, is it? Is it something that you only bring out at special occasions, maybe? Is it something that you care about, right? What makes that gift special? Is it because it was expensive? No, it's probably because of who gave it to you, right? Flaws and all. See, that's what I love about the Easter story, is even though Christ is our ultimate gift, the gift that he has given us, and our unperfect, full of flaw self, as he still chose us as his gift, and we get to receive his free gift of salvation. And so we are walking through these next few weeks what Jesus chose for us in spite of us. Okay, last week we laid that it was the crown of thorns that Jesus chose for us, the fruit of sin he bore for us on the cross. And so today what we're going to learn through is one cross, three nails, forgiven. So if you've got your Bible today, go ahead, and we're going to be in one of my favorite accounts of the crucifixion in Luke chapter 23. If you don't have a Bible, as always, they're free. Just go grab one over in the garden. You can write your name in it. You can write in it. You can highlight it. You can do whatever you want to do. You can follow along with us for free on our Vine Church app at thevine.tv/app, and you can take your own notes. You can save notes inside of it, even email notes to a friend. But more importantly, as always, I'm so thankful for our Vine production team. Zach, don't miss you. Zach's not going to be here next week, and he always takes care of us. And I just want to tell you, we're going to be thankful for Zach next week. When things look a little haywire, just know it wasn't Zach doing it, because he always makes it look pretty. So thank you, Zach. And he hates this as much as I hate getting recognized. So I understand right now he is turning the feed off and he is shutting it down. But that's okay. So wherever you're watching around the world throughout the week, the scripture will be on the screen. If you're with me, give me an amen. All right, amen in the house of the Lord. Let's get to Luke chapter 23 and verse 32 to verse 34. Verse 32 to verse 34. And it says this: two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes, and they cast lots. See, this is one of my favorite tellings of the crucifixion, because Church, you and I were those criminals on the right and left. One of the, if you listen to the radio or wherever you stream music right now, Rhett Walker has a song, Man in the Middle Cross, if you've ever heard it. And he talks in the chorus of that. He talks about being the one on the left full of guilt and regret, long gone on the wrong side of living. Or I was the one on the right, right? I'm trying to think. I was the one on the right, always looking for a fight. That's what it was. Thinking I can never be forgiven. But I'm standing here today overwhelmed by grace because I know who paid my cost. Thank God for the man on the middle cross. Now, if I screwed that up, be glad I didn't sing that. It is what it is. I was trying to remember it. But I'm so thankful for that song because that's what Easter is about, the man on the middle cross. What he paid for us. He paid our cost. That's what we are seeing here in Luke 23. If you want to have some homework later, if you've never read it, I love at the end. Remember, one of the criminals mocks him and says, can't you save us? Why don't you just save us? And another says, don't you know who you're talking to? You're talking to the Son of God. Will you remember me, Jesus? And Jesus says, surely I will remember you and see you in paradise today. We see that. So many times, though, in our life, don't we like to qualify who can go into heaven and who can't outside of trusting Jesus as our Lord and Savior? If you knew their sin, if you knew what they did, there's no way that they could get in. And I will tell you, the man on the middle cross says, if you trust in me, that is the only way that you can get in. And that's what we're going to talk about today. This one cross, three nails, forgiven. See, we like to talk about others because we forget that in sin we were enemies with Christ, right? Romans 5:8 reminds us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But if you go down to verse 10, it says that while we were enemies with God in sin, he still went to the cross for us and saved us. How much more can we be excited for him reconciling us and saving us in this life, giving us this forgiveness? So this is what I want us to talk to really quickly today in the time we have together. Let's talk about this forgiveness that Jesus offers us on the cross. Can we do that today? I've got 17 points today. I really don't. Believe it or not, I have points today. Get excited. I don't know. That doesn't happen often. I know, but I have a few points today. So let's talk about this forgiveness that Christ offers us on the cross. And first and foremost, if you're taking notes, the forgiveness that Jesus gives us on the cross is guilt-free. Guilt-free. How do we know this? 2 Corinthians 5:19 reminds us of what this guilt-free forgiveness is. And it says this, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. So why does this matter? What is the thing that we struggle with in forgiveness the most? As a matter of fact, the peace that we get for the forgiveness in Christ, and it's guilt. Guilt. We all have it. That's what comes from. If you go and you look in Genesis at the fall, what happened was Adam and Eve hid themselves in their shame because they knew they were guilty. No matter where you are on the spectrum of following Jesus, all of us have that wired inside of us. We have this guilt we carry for our sin because we know we've crossed a line that we can never come back from. That we can't in our own strength save ourselves. And I just want to tell you today, when it comes to guilt, I want to set you free with something today. Did you know guilt is not from God? Now, we're going to talk about what is from God and it's conviction. We're going to talk about that in a moment. But did you know guilt is not from God? The guilt that you carry in your sin is not from God. Actually, guilt is the unintended consequence of not properly dealing with your sin. And so you run around guilty, and it makes you do a couple of things. See, we try to resolve it ourselves. But let me tell you what you run around with when it comes to guilt, because Satan will use that as a tool to make you think that your guilt can set you free from your sin, and it can't. It can't. So what do we do so many times when we get stuck in our guilt? How do we unsuccessfully in guilt deal with our sin? Well, the first thing we do is we try to rationalize it, right? It's not a big deal. It's a one-time thing. How many diets have we ruined doing that, right? It's just one meal. It's just one hot and ready sign. Lord, it can't be that bad, right? If we don't rationalize it, what we'll end up doing is compare it to someone else. Did you see what that guy did on the left cross? I'm not that guy. Thank God I'm not him. Our guilt maybe doesn't make us rationalize it. Maybe it doesn't make us compare it, but maybe it makes us repress it. And I don't know about you, but the more you try to hide things, don't it become more evident? Like parents, you know that with your child. They keep trying to hide like the Easter egg in your room and it smells pretty bad after about a week that nobody found, right? And that hard-boiled egg smells rotten, very rotten. Sin does the same thing for us. Inside of our guilt, maybe we don't try to go around and rationalize it or compare it or repress it, but we project it. The way we feel, we make you try to feel. You see, guilt makes us want to stay a victim. And I just want to say today, Jesus didn't come for us to be a victim, and victims never walk in victory, and they never walk in peace. And guilt will keep us stuck in that. Now, something that's different than guilt that is of God is conviction of the Holy Spirit. Now, conviction of the Holy Spirit tries to lead you to confess and repent, to be reconciled back to God. That's completely different. Because we struggle when it comes to our guilt. We think that we are called to give God our best. Absolutely. So we think that that's what we always have to have. Have you ever been called in that in life sometimes? You're only praying good things, like you're only praying about the things that are going well. We feel guilty because maybe in our life nothing seems to be going well, so we don't want to pray at all. But you see, when we give God our sin, we're giving him exactly what he wants. Because that's the only way we can walk guilt-free. Otherwise, we try to pick up and carry the burden of that. We say that what Jesus bore for us on the cross didn't matter. We want to carry it. And it leaves us a victim. And the reason we like being a victim in that guilt is because we like to honestly make others feel guilty, don't we? Because if they're guilty and I'm guilty, we can be sad together. Womp, womp. How much does that accomplish in the Lord's name? I'm going to tell you something. A bunch of angry birds don't do anything for the Lord, right? Just because they get folks got mad. I grew up in churches when folks got mad because you moved a table out of the Sunday school room. That youth group, right? But at the same time, did that do anything to win lost souls for Christ? Sure didn't. See, Jesus came for us to be a part of him building his kingdom and being reconciled back to him. So the first thing his forgiveness offers on the cross is a guilt-free forgiveness. The second thing it offers is an instant forgiveness. An instant forgiveness. Jesus gives us a guilt-free forgiveness and an instant forgiveness. We can see that in 1 John 1:9. We know that it says this: if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. One of the evident, the antidote to guilt is confession. Just said it. We think that we shouldn't give God our sin, but it's actually the one thing he wants us to give to him so that we can walk freely. James 5:16, it's not going to be on there, but we say this a lot. It says when it comes to confession, confess your sins to one another so that you may be healed. For the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Confession has power. Now, don't get excited. I'm not going to have you stand up here and tell your favorite sin. We're not going to do that in the house of the Lord today. But what I do want to say is sometimes we come under conviction because Jesus is saying, would you just give it to me? Instead of continuing to carry it. See, this instant forgiveness is the same with guilt. We want it for us, don't we? God better forgive me for what I did wrong. But what about the person who wronged us? Oh, we want them to sit in it, don't we? Oh, we want them to think about it for a long time. We want them to bring gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh to us. We want them to worship us. We want them to know what they did wrong to us. Yet in Luke 23, what is it that Jesus prayed? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. See, as much as you and I should be receiving this forgiveness through Christ, we have to extend it. And I know we've talked about this multiple times, but I want to say sometimes in our life, the freedom we're missing out on is because we haven't extended the forgiveness of God. Forgiveness of God that we extend to others that we've received through Christ Jesus doesn't mean that we stay in abuse, but it does mean that we set ourselves free from carrying the burden of that guilt and carrying the response to their sin against us. When we live this way and we don't offer instant forgiveness as we've been given, it leaves us angry. And it never gives us peace, does it? Oh, you feel good for a moment in that road rage moment. Man, you do. But the 7 cars you wrecked on the way there and the person that you hurt and the innocent bystander, man, it really wasn't worth it. So what does this look like when it comes to confession in Christ and this peace that he gives? I want us to be reminded what John 1, 9 says. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. God stands ready to forgive our sins if we are willing to confess them. See, we can't experience the forgiveness if we don't give it to him. Not that we don't have it. We have the forgiveness, but we can't experience the peace of that forgiveness if we don't give it to him. Yet so many times we want to hang on to it. And I just want to say, walking in the guilt of it is a lie from the pit of hell. That is Satan trying to keep you stuck. It's Satan that looked at Adam and Eve and made them hide instead of fully going into the presence of God and saying, I messed up. Instead, God, who already knew they messed up, had to pull it out of them. So I want us to be reminded, God stands ready to forgive what we are willing to confess, but he is also faithful to forgive what we are willing to confess. Not standing in judgment. He wants us to have this instant peace, this forgiveness that is instant. The third thing that he offers is not just a guilt-free forgiveness, an instant forgiveness, but a final forgiveness. A final forgiveness. Hebrews 8:12 talks to us about that final forgiveness that God gives us through Christ Jesus. And it says this, for I will forgive their wickedness. And look at this. And will remember their sins no more. I'm going to ask you a question, and it should get us excited. I want to give Jesus all the praise and glory today. Does it say that God forgot our sin? Do you think God has forgotten our sin? He's all-knowing. It says he chose not to remember it. Now, that's an argument that you're going to have in the car about lunch, after lunch, about where you're supposed to go. No, you didn't forget. You chose not to remember. But, like, think of the blessing that God has in that. He chooses not to remember our sin, not that he forgot it. Why is that? Because in Christ Jesus, if he is our Lord and Savior, he does not see our sin within us. He sees his Son, the price paid for our sin. So he chooses not to remember. What is it Psalm 103 reminds us of? Psalm 103, 13, I think, if I remember right. He's cast our sins as far as from the east is to the west. Can any of us measure as far as the east is to the west? No. Yet that is how far God has forgotten, not remembered our sin. He's cast it away. See, once we've given it to God, we need to leave it there. I don't know about you, but I'm terrible about doing that in prayer, right? Hey, God, I need you to come through on this. And I'm good. I'm on my knees. I've got it to him. I need you to move in this situation. And he's like, all right, son, leave it to me. And I'm just like, all right, I'll see you next week. Like, you know, I pick it up, put my backpack back on, and I want to pick it back up. Whatever you're going through, whatever that is, whatever sin you're dealing with that you can't, that you think you can't overcome, because trust me, you can on your own. Once you leave it at his feet, leave it. Don't pick it up. Don't pick it up. It's not your cross to carry at that moment in time. Leave it at his feet so that you can be reminded of the finality of his forgiveness. Last but not least, so Jesus' forgiveness offers us a guilt-free forgiveness, an instant forgiveness, a final forgiveness, and a total forgiveness. A total forgiveness. We can see this total forgiveness as Paul writes to the church in Colossae. In Colossians 2, verse 13 and 14, it says this. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us. What does that say, church? All our sins. Before we go on, does it say some of our sin? Does it say that he forgave you your sin because it wasn't as bad as that person's sin? Did he say we forgave you your sin because you went to church every Sunday? Does it say he forgave you your sin because you gave or you served at this certain? No. It says he has forgiven all sin for us totally. And I love this, verse 14, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away and he has nailed it to the cross, or nailing it to the cross. Sin demanded a payment, death. And your and my death can't bring life. It's a payment that we would have to give if we don't trust Christ as our Lord and Savior. And so God in his great mercy said, instead of you paying that payment, I'm going to come and pay it for you. And I'm going to do it on the cross. And so for each and every one of us, that's what we have to be reminded of today, is the totality of the forgiveness that God has for us. We don't have to look back and be in shame of our past. We don't have to look forward at our future failures and think, man, how am I going to mess this up this time? Instead, the forgiveness that is given through Christ is total because he paid it in full. We no longer carry the burden of that. But as always, there is a requirement of us, and it is faith. Faith in Christ. Faith in anything but Christ has the same destination as sin, which is death. We can spend our whole life trying to find this total forgiveness. We can do everything. We can go through all the steps of the program. We can think that as we show up and serve that that will save us. I will tell you, there are people that went to church every Sunday that bust hell wide open because they don't know Jesus. They have faith in their works instead of the finished work of the cross. And the same person that confesses Christ as Lord on the deathbed is going to heaven, just like the person who confessed Christ as a 7-year-old. It makes no difference. And so for us, we've got to be reminded wherever we are, this total forgiveness we have. And that should make us celebrate. And the reason I say that is this. As long as there's still a breath in us, there's always a chance. That prodigal you're waiting to come home, as long as there's a breath in them, there's still a chance. There's still a chance if they just have faith. But this is the thing I want to remind us of today. Those four things, I might have actually put Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit here, so I can't take the credit. There's a reason we walk through those four things today, because I want us to be reminded of forgiveness as one thing. Forgiveness is a gift. See, it's free for you and me. If we receive it in faith, it's free. Forgiveness was, what was it, guilt-free, instant, final, and total. That's Holy Spirit, that came together. You should be excited in the house of the Lord the way my scattered brain works. Forgiveness is a gift, and it's free for us, but it cost God everything. Absolutely everything. Imagine today, you have a warrant for your arrest. You go out and you rob a bank, and it goes sideways, and it goes crazy. And Batman couldn't stop you on the way out, and a stray bullet caught someone, and it killed him. Now, maybe we want to say, well, whether this is manslaughter or murder, but no matter what, there is punishment that has to be received for that. So you go on the run. They go and they issue a warrant for your arrest. You know you did the deed. You know that you're guilty. You are absolutely guilty. There is not a question in your mind if you were. And the police catch up with you and they arrest you and they book you into the prison. Then they give you a bond that you can't pay. Because, I mean, I don't have $1 million rolling around. You probably don't either, right? And so you have to sit in jail until your trial date. Your trial date comes. Police officer opens the door and says, you're free to go. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm running like the Hamburglar. Son, I'm out of there. If they made a mistake, I'm out. You good luck. Y'all ain't never seen me run so fast. I know I'm guilty. I know I did it. But you said I'm free. You got to catch up with me because I'm out of here. And you go, you find your family, you celebrate it, and you're so excited you are free. And then you get home and you turn on the news and you see that your trial happened and someone was standing in your place. Church, that's the gospel. That's what Jesus did for us. That is what Colossians 2:13-14 talks about. We were guilty. A price had to be paid, and we were guilty. There was no question, yet Christ stood in our place. How does that make you feel? Man, that should make you excited to know that you were guilty, and yet God loved us enough, the creator of the universe, to say, I made a way for you when there was no way. This is the gospel. This is Easter. See, forgiveness is a gift that is free to us, but it cost God everything. And we see the cost at Easter because he did it with one cross plus 3 nails to allow us to be forgiven. One cross and 3 nails through Christ gave us the opportunity to be forgiven. So I ask you again, what's the weirdest gift you've ever received? So I get excited. I hope you see this next year when you pull out that vine Christmas ornament and you see that nail. Imagine today I went to the home improvement store and I just started passing out generic nails. Like, here's some roofing nails. Go poke a tire out. I don't know. You probably do not want that gift. Does that not seem weird? Does it not seem crazy? Like, why is this dude giving out nails? Like, what in the world is going on? And I want us to think about the function of nails. Nails fix broken things, don't they? Nails take what was separate and join it together. Hey, nails take something that has no potential and it gives it a usefulness. It gives it purpose, doesn't it? Can you not see what those three nails did for us? It reconciled us back to the Lord. Our brokenness, Christ paid for with those nails on the cross. Our separation, Christ paid for with those nails on the cross. Our purpose and what we were created to be reconciled to God, Christ paid for on the cross. And so why in the world would we not celebrate that? Can we not see that the cross is this eternal exchange of our guilt for his glory? Our shame with his grace. He set us free. Forgiveness is a free gift to us, but it cost God everything. So the question really is, what will we do with this gift? Will we be the one on the left, full of guilt and regret, long gone on the wrong side of living? Or we'll be with the one on the right always looking for a fight, thinking we would never be forgiven and waste our entire life and reject this free gift that is open to all? Or will we have faith, knowing that all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God? What is sin? Sin is anything that is not God's will. Really, anything that is not perfect. And I don't know about you, but I certainly ain't perfect. None of us are perfect. And because of that sin, our destination was death, and the price had to be paid for that. And instead of being separated from God, he said, I'm going to come down to you. I'm going to do for you what you can't do for yourself. I'm going to live the perfect sinless life you couldn't live, and that's what Jesus did. He died the death, paying the penalty that we deserve on the cross. But you know what? He said, I still ain't done. He rose again on the third day so that we could have life, living the fullness of that life now. We ain't got to wait till heaven. Yeah, heaven's going to be awesome. And we're going to get to live in the fullness then, but we get to be it now. We get to live it now. The question is, will we have the faith to receive it? Will we take this free gift of salvation that he's given us? Will we have the faith to believe this free gift of salvation? Take it, open it, receive it, and trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. See, the cross shows us the depths of which God would go to bring his children home. You may say today, if God knows what I did, there's no way he could forgive me. And I just want us to be reminded what John 3:16 and 17 tells us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God is not standing in judgment against you. God is saying, will you come home today and trust and receive this free gift of salvation that my Son has given you, paying your debt in full? See, as you look at that cross, all of our sins should have been on display for everyone to see. And on that cross, Jesus had those nails in his hands and his feet. And I want you to know all of our sins were on that tree, were on that cross. But through Christ, they were covered by him and redeemed by his blood. And so with every head bow and every eye closed today, the reason we do what we do and what we celebrate each and every week is walking in that faith. Walking and knowing that Jesus is who he says he is. For those of us who are in Christ Jesus today, we can be encouraged by the forgiveness that he has given us. For those who don't know Jesus today, this is the opportunity for you to stop running, for you to stop being the one on the left and the right, trying to live in your guilt, trying to live in your shame, thinking that you are helpless and hopeless and that you can't be set free from the penalty of sin. You can waste your whole life chasing this peace, this forgiveness that Christ alone offers, only to always come up short and leaving you empty. Yet today, this is your opportunity. This is the chance that you have to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. And we're going to pray this prayer out loud as a family. It's not the words of this prayer that saves you. It's the faith that Jesus is who he says he is. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, please repeat these words out loud after me for the benefit of those coming to faith for the first time. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you came, lived the perfect sinless life I couldn't live, died the death I deserve, paying the penalty for my sins on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day so that I may have life. Come take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life the best way I know how. And with every head bow and every eye closed, if you can say for the first time you have trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you to do something bold. Nobody's looking around but me because I want to celebrate this decision with you. On the count of three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if for the first time you have trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. One, two, three. If that's you in the house, would you raise your hand if it's the first time that you have trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Maybe you're watching online and you have trusted Jesus, and I want to tell you there's a reason you've been watching today. Today has been appointed and anointed by the Lord. This is a celebration that we want to help you take next steps in. So if you're watching online, you can maybe put a raised hand emoji. You'll see a little link up there in a little bit that says thevine.tv/response. You can shoot us a message. We would love to celebrate this decision with you because this isn't the finish line. This is your starting block to be all that God created you to be, and we want to help you get in touch with a local church near you. And for the rest of us, if you want to look up, you can go ahead and stand up. We're about to have a time of celebration here in worship, and I just want us to be reminded today that whatever we have, we can always run to the Father with. Whatever we have, we can always run to Christ with. Whatever we have, we can leave at His feet. And so today, maybe there is something that the Holy Spirit is pressing upon you that you need to confess to Him today. You need to lay at His feet that you've been trying to carry this weight and this burden for far too long. Let's leave it at the cross today. Amen. Let's worship the Lord.
Father,
good that as much as we try to run to the Father, he's right there. We think we're running to him, and he's standing there right there with open arms. So today, I would just say, whatever you have, lay it at his feet. Whatever you're trying to carry on your own, lay it at his feet. Whatever you're trying to walk through on your own, lay it at his feet and trust him with it. Because as you do that, it's going to beam through you, and everyone you come in contact with today going to be like, hey, I want a little bit of what you got. I don't know. Maybe it's Beacon Tea. Maybe it's a Wage East Roll. Whatever it is, I want a little bit of that. What is it that you've got? And you got to say, let me tell you about this Jesus. Let me tell you about how he set me free. And I'm going to tell you, if there's one thing the world needs, it's more Jesus, ain't it? And that's what we get to be, church. So that being said, we'd love to see your smiling face next week. Join us for some zero-calorie food over there in our garden. And also join us to celebrate Easter as we continue our series next week's Palm Sunday, right? We got to get excited about that. We've got a seat saved for you. Have a great week. And always remember, the best is still yet to come.